Recorded live from the Hammett Point Studios in Lyman, South Carolina, this is the All 7 Days Podcast, where Stan and Trevor come and take your questions from the perspective of a couple of church members just having a conversation about spiritual matters, where the Bible gets to define truth and our minds and perspectives get to conform to that truth. That was one breath.
That was good.
Was that good?
Excellent.
As you can tell, the High Right Reverend, Mr. Pastor Bradley Cox, is with us today from Resurrection Church in Greer, South Carolina. How are you, Bradley?
I'm good, man. Good to be back with you guys.
It's good to have you here. And Trevor is across the pond, as they say. Actually, he's not quite across any ponds. He's just across a few states in Corinth, Mississippi. Hey, Trevor, how are you?
Doing well, Stan. Good to see you, Bradley.
Good to see you, bud.
Hey, Trevor, where can people send questions in?
They could ask at all7days.com. They could leave a voicemail or text at 864-660-9473. Or they could go to the All 7 Days Hangout on Facebook.
Hey, that's cool. Hey, I'm glad you did your homework for that one.
Good job, man.
That was really good. And where can they listen to the podcast?
Audible, Amazon. I think it's Amazon Music.
Yeah.
I was going to joke around and say Spotify because our internet is so spotty.
But, well, it is on Spotify. It's there, too. All your favorite podcast apps, it's there. And where can they get mugs and T-shirts?
From you. Yeah. You ask me day and night. No, they could do it at all7days.com/shop. anchor.fm/all7days.
That's where they can support the podcast on a monthly basis, and we appreciate everyone who does that. Thanks for listening today. What's going on, Bradley? You haven't been here in a few weeks. What all is going on with you?
Oh man, a lot. I mean, you know, I'm raising a teenager and an almost teenager.
Oh, bless you.
I mean, it's a fun time. It's kind of bittersweet because they're so fun to be around, and you know, getting to see their personalities develop all the more is super fun. But I was talking with a friend of mine who he read some article about the brain development, particularly in boys at this age. My son's 15, and there's some, I can't remember what part, but there's some part of the brain that just has not fully developed that. I find myself doing the same thing my dad did when I was this age, looking at my son and going, "What are you doing?" Like it's like all common sense and logic it doesn't exist at points.
Yeah.
And so that's been interesting.
So Thomas, your son, comes and babysits for us while we're doing small group because we got, God, how many kids do we have that they take care of? He and my niece Jordan. Mm-hmm. Kind of tag team it, and he and Jordan have kind of, you know, they've struck up a friendship, you know, because they're working together, right?
Right.
So I drive them home, and they have conversations about what all went on during the night. It's really interesting to hear them talk. And we were telling your wife Mary about all this, and she said he talks to a girl.
I don't know if I told you, like there, I think it was Mother's Day. Maybe this past year, the year before, we went to a restaurant with my parents and my sister, and we're all there sitting at this table and eating, and this cute little girl, I mean, I say little, I mean, she's Thomas's age.
Yeah.
She comes over to the table and says, "Hi, Thomas." And, you know, I think he had been in a school play the previous school year, and I think she was in it, and she just came over and was real nice and sweet and said, "Hi, Thomas." And he turned 15 shades of red. It was like like he was on tilt, like girl, girl, girl. You know, it's just and Mary got so tickled. I was having to like shh.
You're gonna kill him. You're gonna kill him. Yeah. Well, speaking of turning reds and girls, have you heard Trevor's big news?
I saw it on social media. Congratulations, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
When's the big day?
Not set yet.
Okay.
We're still working on the date and all the logistics.
Good. Yeah. So, well, I'm happy for you, big man.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
She's
it.
She's a good lady.
Yes, very, very good.
What did you expect him to say?
Well, I mean, you know, we're on air. If there's a question, might as well get it out there.
She's the worst.
That's good, man.
I'm
man.
Happy for you.
Yeah, we're happy for Trevor and for Hannah. And for Hannah.
Hannah.
Yep.
So, okay, cool. Well, we'll be we'll be helping. We'll be praying for Thomas that he.
Yes. He loves doing childcare for your group too.
He does a great job. He and Jordan both are just. I mean, it's necessary with a group of kids that we have, especially.
Yeah.
It's so necessary. Yeah. We would get nothing done if they didn't come. So we really appreciate them.
It's good.
All right, we'll get to our questions. Answer me these questions three. Mm-hmm. There, the other side we see of this podcast. We'll be right back. This is the All 7 Days Podcast. Welcome back to the All 7 Days Podcast. Bradley's here. We're answering questions from a few past episodes, and they all happened. I didn't really plan this until I got a couple of episodes in, and I thought, hey, we got a prayer theme going on here. So this will be all in the prayer wheelhouse, which we're going to look at this point. So, and you even mentioned this first question, I think, in your sermon Sunday, because you looked at me and said, somebody posed a question to me, and I think it was from your podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I pray, I tend to use God and Jesus interchangeably during my prayers. Should I be addressing one or the other, since they are the one, I think is how, I don't know how that's phrased, if that's right or not, but separate at the same time. And we talked about, you know, that we went into the Trinity and talked about how we can pray to God and we can pray to each member of the Trinity, and all that is appropriate. So, and I know you've talked about this before, probably not on the podcast, but I've heard you speak to this, especially, you know, when you pray before you preach, you tend to ask the Holy Spirit for help.
Mm-hmm.
Which is right and good, and we appreciate you doing that. Not only for your words to speak, but for our hearts to hear and to see. So, what else can you throw to us on that might help us see that correctly?
Well, I think there's a, shall we say, a liturgy to the way we pray.
Mm-hmm.
Typically speaking, we tend to, and I think it comes from. Maybe not the, you know, at least one example would be the Lord's Prayer when Jesus' disciples asked him, said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. There was obviously something about his prayer life that they, and these were praying guys. I mean, they were good Jews. They prayed.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about his prayer life that intrigued them. And so they asked him to teach them to pray. And he said, pray like this or pray in this manner. Not that he was giving us a formula.
Right.
But giving us an example, and he starts his prayer with "Our Father in heaven,
right?
Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done," so on. And so, it's typical to hear people begin prayers with "Heavenly Father,"
yep,
"Father in heaven." And I think we learned that from Jesus, and so I would never say that's a bad thing,
right? Yeah.
I also thought about Hebrews 4, verse 14. And through 16, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, I guess my point is the typical Christian prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit is a good way to pray.
Yeah.
I would say that that's, you know.
They're definitely all three involved.
They're all three involved, and it's a normative way to pray in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And so I would say that's a good way to address the Father and I think, you know, one of the other questions is about, you know, ending the prayers with "in Jesus' name, amen." And a lot of times we do that, I think the person said, like we're hitting the send button on the prayer, like an email. We shouldn't fly over those words.
Right.
Because we do approach the Father not in our own merit, not in our own strength, not in our own worth. We come in the name of Jesus. We come by his righteousness, by his blood. The mercy on our lives is through his sacrifice, and so we come to the Father in his name by the power of the Spirit.
Right.
That doesn't mean, though, that we can't address and that we shouldn't address each member of the Trinity in prayer. I think I may have even said on this podcast before, you know, there are specific things in Scripture that the Holy Spirit, we're guaranteed, is going to help us with. And one of those is prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of those is remembering the things that Jesus taught. And so when I teach and I ask for the Holy Spirit's help, or when I pray, sometimes I don't start my prayers with Heavenly Father. Sometimes I start with Holy Spirit, help me pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a pause, after a moment of just meditating on the fact that I have the Spirit's help, I might then address the Father.
Yep.
Or then ask Jesus. And another thing I thought about, and I just think this is interesting. If you go to Acts chapter 1, when...
It's a real Bible, people. He's actually flipping pages.
That's right. This is right before Jesus ascends. He's told them, you know, don't depart Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then verse 6. And so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord. So they address him as Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Word means master.
Yep.
Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's a prayer. I mean, Jesus is visibly in front of
right.
them, but they're praying to him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He goes on to say, it's not for you to know the times, you know, fixed by the Father's own authority, but when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power to be my witnesses. You fast forward to the end of the chapter, and Peter stands up, and he's like, we've got to replace Judas.
Mm-hmm.
We need, you know, we're down to 11 now. Yep. He goes through what happened with Judas, and then he's like, we need to replace him. So they kind of narrowed it down to two people, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And then it says, verse 24, and they prayed and said, you, Lord, same word.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know the hearts of all. Show us which one of these you have chosen.
Right.
So I think that's a prayer directed right at Jesus.
Yeah.
Given the context of chapter 1, they address Jesus.
Especially since Jesus was the one who chose the original 12, would he not also choose the replacement?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that
was their mindset, I'm assuming. So
that was their mindset. And they, you know, it says at the beginning of chapter 1 that Jesus presented himself alive by many proofs, appearing to them. That's the only time in the New Testament that word is used, appear. Mm-hmm. And it means to make yourself visible.
Right.
So it's not like Jesus, you know, we have this sense that after the resurrection, Jesus was there and then he wasn't.
Yep.
But I think he's teaching them, look, I'm here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's teaching them a new way to relate to him and have confidence in his presence with them. He's appearing to them. You know, he appears in the upper room. Then he appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And now he's appearing over a period of 40 days, talking with them about the kingdom. And then they don't visibly see him anymore, but I think they carry with them this sense that Jesus is still with us.
Always.
Jesus is continuing to do things, and we have his help, and we can address him directly.
And the last thing he said was, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Never leave you or forsake you.
Yeah, so that's good. Good.
And I think, you know, one other thing I'd say about prayer. Did you take the class with Onken about Abraham, the friend of God?
I did. I took. There was two, and I wasn't able to make the second one, but I did take the first one. Yes.
I thought that class was really challenging in the sense that the basis of the class was, if Abraham was called the friend of God, what could we learn from Abraham's prayer life?
Yeah.
Which I think is a fantastic question. God called Abraham his friend,
right?
So, what do we learn from Abraham's prayer life? And the interesting thing, and this kind of gets at the other question, I think, about ending with amen. What we saw is we went through Abraham's conversations with God, which that's mm-hmm. really what they were. They weren't just one-way communication where Abraham right. started with Father or God. Here's all the things I need to tell you. Amen.
Yeah.
A lot of times God started the conversation.
Yeah.
And God ended the conversation.
Yeah.
And it very much, in some cases, was a dialogue. And so I think we should not I think addressing the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit, ending with amen, which means so be it,
mm-hmm.
is a good way to pray. But I think we should open our minds and hearts to the fact that God wants to speak also, that we do have spiritual senses that I believe can discern the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one more scripture, Acts 16.
You writing this down, Trevor?
Looking it up.
Acts 16. Paul's off on his second missionary journey with Silas. And this is interesting. And they went throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, which I want to press that too hard.
Yeah.
But doesn't that seem like they have a sense, at least, of their communion, interaction, guidance, and leadership from the Holy Spirit specifically?
Mm-hmm.
It's not interchangeable.
Right.
With Jesus and the Father, they have sent. Look, the Holy Spirit prevented us to speak the word there. And then verse 7. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them.
Yeah.
So there's a sense of interaction, guidance, leadership, communion with the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
That in their minds is distinct from what the Holy Spirit prevented in Asia.
Yeah.
So our God is three in one. Three persons, one God. And I think one of the things that I want to grow in is discerning the voice of the Spirit, discerning the presence and guidance and the voice of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And also Jesus says in John 14, I go to prepare a place to you. If I go away, I and the Father will come and make our home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's an abiding presence of both the Father and the Son and, of course, the Spirit with us now. And so I do think there are definitely appropriate times to address all three.
I like it. So since you've already breached the subject of our third question, why do we say amen? Let's dive into that just a little bit more. Let's tackle the whole phrase, in Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So she's saying that, it's normally she had a kind of a mental picture of pushing the send button on her email. But yet I've known many people who pray who don't say any of those words at the end of a prayer. Yet I don't think it nullifies the prayer.
No.
Because we always pray in the name of Jesus, meaning under his authority and according to his will.
Yes.
And the amen, we talked about the first time that showed up in Numbers was actually a test for the potential of, how should we put this in a PG term, an unfaithful wife,
mm-hmm.
that she's to drink this bitter water and the priest is to say, this is going to swell your bowels and your thigh is going to fall off. I don't know what that means. And she is to reply, amen, amen, right?
Yep.
So, in other words, agreeing with what you said as truth, this is to happen to me.
Yep.
Should I be found by God to be unfaithful to my husband, basically, is what that's about. So the word amen is just an agreement with whatever I have spoken that is true and according to your will, let that be done.
Yep.
However, we're always praying in that vein and in that way. So the words don't hold any power over the prayer.
No.
So to include them, I think, is helpful for us to remember how we're praying and in a corporate setting to help those who are maybe sitting with their heads bowed and eyes closed to understand that it's done. Mm-hmm. Where I'm finished.
Yep.
That might be a helpful thing to do. Yep. Otherwise, people might fall asleep.
right.
Sitting there. So that's kind of how I approach those words. They're helpful. They don't add power to our prayer, but it's the mindset that we're reminding ourselves of how we're praying and who we're praying to.
Stan, I got a question, and Bradley, you could jump in on this since you're a preacher. sometimes.
And I know everything.
He does.
You do.
He does.
No, I don't. I don't.
But some, like when they're doing a big prayer and the preacher's leading the prayer, and at the end he always said, or some people say, and all of God's people said,
yeah,
amen. But that's not in the Bible, is it?
No.
Like God said, all my people say amen?
No.
So where does that come from?
Well, again, I mean, the word means so be it.
Right.
Yeah. Right? And I think that, like Stan is saying, it's really more about, if we're thinking well about those phrases, in Jesus' name and the word amen, we should see that as the posture of our prayer.
Right.
And the humility that we come to the Lord with. And also, I think, what's our sense about how accurate our prayers are in line with the will of God?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're praying, when I do that sometimes, Trevor, when I'm opening a sermon and I'm praying, and I'll say, let's all say it together, amen. And here's what I know. This is literally in my mind when I pray this, is that what I've just prayed, asking for the Spirit's help to open our eyes and ears to what the Lord has to say to us from His Word, is a guarantee. Mm-hmm. I'm not outside of the will of God with that prayer.
Right.
If I prayed, Lord, let the offering be enough to pay off our debt completely today in one offering, well, I don't know that that's the will of God.
Right.
And I might want to think about, you know, how I end that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Might want to end it a little differently. I certainly am not going to go and all God's people said, amen. But if I lead the people in an amen, mm-hmm. what am I leading them in? I'm leading them to express, and some are going to do that flippantly, casually, without thought. Yeah. But I am leading them to express their confidence in the promise of God, that His Word is alive and active, that we have the Spirit's help to see and understand what was inspired to be written, and that our minds can be renewed and our lives transformed by the living Word of God. So I know that that's a right prayer to pray, and I have no lack of confidence that the Lord's going to answer that prayer. And so to invite the people to join me in an amen, I think is an appropriate thing to do. That instruction to do so may not explicitly be in the Bible, but to say so be it, you know, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, it will be done. So that doesn't mean his name is a magic wand we wave. It means that when we pray according to the promises of God in His Word, we're guaranteed. You know, when James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and he's talking about suffering and particularly counting it all joy in suffering, if I lack wisdom as to how to count it all joy in my suffering, the promise from James, who was inspired to write that, is that God will pour out wisdom and not hold back. And so if I pray with someone or lead someone in a prayer, or someone prays for me for wisdom in the midst of my suffering so that I can count it all joy, it's absolutely appropriate to end that with amen. So be it. It's a confidence. It's an expression of confidence,
yep.
I think.
Yep. You good with that, Trevor?
Yes, sir.
All right. Can you give it an amen?
Amen.
We need Ethan here.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, man. What a card he is. All right. That's a topic for another podcast altogether.
Yep.
All right. So our last one we're going to tackle is basically, can we change God's plans by our prayers? The question is asked this way: why do people constantly pray for healing for years, and years go by with no healing? Sometimes they're never healed. If God already knows when He's taking us home, why do we pray to make a person better? Do we think we can pray to God to change His plans? I'll just let that lay there, and you can meditate.
Well, I don't believe we change God's plans.
No,
of course,
of course not.
I think that is. And I'm sure you talked about this on the episode. Prayer is not a means by which I change God's mind or influence God in any way.
Right.
Prayer does two things. One, it brings me in line with God's will but it's also a means by which God accomplishes yeah. what he wants to accomplish.
Yeah.
You know, there some people say, well, if God is sovereign over everything, what's the point in praying? Well, the point in praying is that God has invited us to participate with him in bringing about his purposes and plans through prayer, which means when I pray for a sick person, it may be the will of God to make them well through my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
James chapter 5, if any among you are sick, let them call the elders of the church and lay hands on them, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person well.
Right.
And I think I've talked to you with you about before about the example James gives to help us understand the prayer of faith, which is Elijah, mm-hmm. who prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And if you go back and read that in 1 Kings 18, what you find is that it was actually the Lord that instructed Elijah to pray that it wouldn't rain.
Right.
The Lord said, ask me for this. So prayer is a means by which God accomplishes his purposes. So what I do think we do flippantly, though, I absolutely think this is something that the church needs to grow in, is that when someone is sick, and I'm not just talking about they got a cold,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
we could even have a discussion about, you know, when somebody's got a cold or the flu and they go to the doctor, what are they assuming? They're assuming that they should be well, not sick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But let's say someone's seriously ill, that we immediately default to just, you know, especially those in the Word of Faith camp, just decreeing, declaring, praying that, you know, God's going to make them well. And we think if we just stir up enough belief that that's going to move God.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever pauses. At least there are very few people I know that would pause and say, Lord, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? And yeah. what do you want me to pray?
Yeah.
Right? How do you want me to pray? What can I ask you for?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's biblical.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I'm myself and one of the other elders met with a couple Sunday after church. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but there's an addiction involved,
yep.
which an addiction can very much be like a sickness.
Yeah.
It's been going on a long time. And as the result of the addiction, there's a lot of problems in the marriage, a lot of anger in the non-addicted spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a really, really good conversation with them, particularly about the way that God just seemed to have lined up all these dominoes that have fallen that got them on the couch in our office with me and another elder praying and talking. I mean, it would take me a whole podcast to tell you a story that goes back a couple of decades that got them there.
Right.
It's amazing. And the next day, this was on Sunday, the next day, Mary and I were praying in the morning, and we were praying for them, among other things. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, it's so clear to me that you lined this up. This couple's pretty new to Rez.
Mm-hmm.
So clear to me that you lined this up. It's obvious. So what do you want me to do? You're doing this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't line this up. I didn't force this. You line this up. You need to tell me what are my marching orders with them?
Right.
How do I pray, and how do I need to get involved without going into a lot of detail? And it was such a sweet moment of prayer to
yeah.
just, I think I have a sense of the next step or two with them. I think the Lord's leading me in that. But such a sweet sense of peace that I had knowing God's doing this.
Yeah.
I'm just the delivery boy.
I'm
the waiter. I didn't cook up the meal. I just get to come and say, here's what chef's prepared for you. And it's such a sweet way to think about prayer, about participation with Jesus and his kingdom work. I love the sovereignty of God being the basis upon which I approach the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
And knowing that I nowhere in this Bible am I instructed to come up with things to pray for on my own.
Yeah.
I tell you what I am instructed to do is depend on the Spirit for help in praying when I don't know how to pray.
Yeah.
I see over and over again. I mean, you look at Paul's conversion. Mary and I were reading this just the other morning, and here's this guy Ananias in Damascus. Paul's on his way there to kill people. And Jesus shows up and says, I need you to go pray for Saul. Who is this guy? What was he doing? Was he cooking? Was he farming? Was he cleaning house? Was he chasing a kid around somewhere? What's he doing? You know, he's just a normal dude. We don't know anything else about him.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, you, I need you to go lay hands on him and pray for him. And he's like, wait a minute, Lord, this guy is bad news. No, I need you to go lay hands on him that he'll receive his sight. I'm going to tell him how much he must suffer for my name.
Yeah.
Okay. Shows up, Paul. I'm here to pray for you. And so he and Paul's sight returns and he's filled with the Spirit. It's amazing to me to think about prayer in that way, as opposed to just me trying to inform God or influence God. I do think the Lord is compassionate when we pray that way, because sometimes I do feel the need to inform him. You know, Habakkuk said, I know there's no point in complaining, but I'm going to complain anyway. and when the Lord answered him, he trembled and his bones began to rot, is what he said. So I think the Lord is kind and compassionate with our praying when we feel like we need to, you know, make him aware of things that he's not paying attention to. But at the same time, there's a deeper level of prayer, I think, that we can walk in.
So true. Good stuff. Trevor?
I agree.
Amen.
Amen, of course. But a lot of people don't pray to God to see what God wants them to do. It's usually they just come to God with what they need God to do for them.
Yeah, their list.
And so,
you know what I find? A lot of Christians, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me, I don't know how to hear God. I don't know how to hear God speak. And you start pressing them, you start asking them some questions, and it doesn't take much digging through their history of relationship with the Lord to find at least a handful of spots where they had a clear sense of the Lord's presence and guidance and direction. I really don't think there's a Christian out there that has absolutely no frame of reference for spiritual sensitivity to the active presence of the living God in their life. So my encouragement then is to say, make this a habit. Just take this one step in your prayer life. Before you pray, ask the Lord, what do you want to talk about? Like, I got my list, Lord. I've got all these things on my mind. What do you want to talk about? And just pause.
Yeah.
You might not hear anything, but at least calm yourself and quiet your mind and heart enough to see if there's something he has to say to you. You know, thinking about Abraham when it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a great nation. What if the Lord wants to talk to you about something so amazing that makes your, and again, I don't want to trivialize anybody's struggles, but makes your little problem seem rather small when he's got something he wants to talk to you about.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I think that's something that we all desire. I mean, I see you guys nodding. It's like, I would love that. Well, I think we can have it.
Yeah.
I think we just got to pause long enough and quiet the noise.
Yeah. There's a lot of noise out there. That's for sure. Cool. Anything else, Trevor?
No, I with that idea right there, I just think about my prayer life and how I don't take time to listen. It's me talking, me guiding everything and not listening. And that's not what it's supposed to be about.
Yeah.
It's not so bad, right? I mean, the Bible says, cast your cares on him. He cares for you. Psalm after psalm after psalm, David comes to the Lord and is just pouring out his guts, man. I think we don't have to think negatively about the way that maybe we've typically prayed in order to grow in our prayer life.
Right.
And just add this element of, Lord, how do you want me to pray? What do you want to talk about today? What's on your mind and heart with as far as my life goes, or this person that I have on my mind and heart? Like, and then just make space to quiet and to be quiet and listen. you might be surprised at what happens.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Always great to have you, Bradley.
Always good to be here.
We are going to wrap it up because the Braves are playing.
Yes.
And we need to go
Let's
help
get to
them.
What matters.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Everybody said
it. All of God's business.
That's right. So I'm going to say the rest of this quickly. Thanks for listening today. And get your question, comments in, askitall7days.com, 864-660-9473. Join the All 7 Days Hangout on Facebook. Let others know about the podcast. Share it. Leave us a review on iTunes. And support us, all7days.com/shop, anchor.fm/all7days. This is the All 7 Days Podcast, where the goal is to make you think so highly of God that you forget about yourself. Now go give someone what you value most today.